Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, here we go. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. Bob Getty with you along with Kelly Center in the Southern Bancorp studios here in beautiful Oak Grove, Mississippi. Glad you're with us. We got a great guest today. Sean Jones is the Senior Deputy Athletic Director at Southern Miss. He's going to spend the hour with us. We're going to get to Sean in just a second. Opening segment of the show sponsored by Dickie's Barbecue Pit, as it is every day. A great place to take your family for a great meal 7 nights a week. And a great place to cater your next event, whether it be baseball, football, church, business, or just maybe Kelly invites a bunch of people over. And you've catered with Dickie's before, haven't you?
I have. Tailgating.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to spend the time over a grill. I want to hang out with my friends and talk to them and see what's going on.
Both of them.
Well, of course. But, you know, and look, since I've only got two, I got to keep them, right?
You got to work on that, Kelly.
And part of that is feeding them good food, and Dickie's always answers the call.
No question about that. Hey, before we get started, don't forget about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. It's available every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. As we said, Sean Jones joins us right now. We asked Sean to come in and talk to us about a number of things, but of course, big news in college athletics was the federal court ruling about the revenue sharing situation. And Sean, let me read what Sports Illustrated said about it, the settlement this morning. Then I'd like for you to, if you don't mind, start out, just kind of lay it out for fans and listeners that may not know exactly. But it said that the settlement, and I quote, paves the way for direct revenue sharing between schools and athletes, upending decades of amateur rules in the NCAA. Is that accurate? And just kind of lay it out in general terms what we're talking about.
It is very accurate, Bob. And Kelly, great to be on with you guys. I joked before we went on the air, I've got a master's in PE. I don't have a law degree. So, You know, bear with me as we go through this. But what I will say about the House settlement is it's been a long time coming. So it's been something that we here at Southern Miss have been preparing for quite some time, and it's been really topic number one for Jeremy and I, and as he's worked with his colleagues in the Sun Belt and just figuring out how to navigate this new world of college sports that became official this week. But really, the House settlement means a few things. First of all, it means, as you mentioned, Bob, that universities are allowed to share revenue with their student athletes. It allows for 22% of your revenues or a $20.5 million cap to be shared with student athletes. It also means roster limits. Now, Judge Wilkins did take roster limits and say we're not going to put that in place right away. There's a designated list that student athletes can be put on, and there's a whole lot of questions surrounding that. But roster limits are part of the House settlement along with revenue sharing. And then trying to gain a more fair playing field in the world of NIL is part of the House settlement. You know, NIL has been used in a variety of ways to benefit schools, to pay student athletes over the course of the last couple of years. So now there is a college sports commission that has officially been put into place as of this week after the House settlement. And really their primary job is to ensure that what is called the NIL Go Clearinghouse, that those deals are fair between third parties and athletics. And that commission will also oversee new NCAA rules created by the House settlement around roster limits, as I just mentioned, and revenue sharing, and then also student athletes and NIL deals to make sure that universities are not getting around revenue sharing by these NIL deals that are out of whack and unfair. So Deloitte has been brought in along with that College Sports Commission to oversee the NIL Go Clearinghouse. Another piece of the House settlement is, and that's why it's a settlement in an antitrust case, it's a back payment method to revenue student athletes from 2016 to 2024. So the case was originally brought about by a student athlete at Arizona State, and then others joined the case. So what that means for universities is, in a lot of cases like Southern Miss, it means that our March Madness distribution, our NCAA distribution, will be withheld each year over a 10-year period. So that's a $2.8 billion back payment to student athletes. 40% of that is coming from the NCAA. Just for matters of our discussion here, 10% of that $2.8 billion is coming from a group of five schools like us. So you're looking at us somewhere around $270,000 to $300,000 being withheld a year for 10 years. So it'll be a $3 million shortfall for Southern Miss Athletics over the course of the next decade.
So clearly that's a bigger burden on the Southern Miss, the universities of Southern Mississippi type programs than it is the Power Five.
Certainly.
So
certainly.
Once again, and correct me where I'm wrong, Sean, but once again, it just seems like the benefit goes to the people who already have the money.
That is correct. For example, the back payments that I talked about that are going to go to revenue student athletes from 2016 to 2024, those are not group of five student athletes. So those are going to be your Power Four student athletes in basketball and football that are going to receive those back payments. So
you're still having to contribute
right.
to it.
Not a dime of what goes into it will actually go to our student athletes. Now, you know, the why in that, you've seen some schools, you may have seen some schools and some conferences, particularly those at the FCS level, say, well, we're not going to do it, and we're going to sue, and they couldn't get out of the case. So if you want to be at this level, you have to participate in the House settlement, and you didn't have to opt into the revenue sharing piece of it. You know, that was up to each institution, but there's no benefit in opting out in our view. And so we have opted in. Now we'll talk about this over the next hour, I know, in detail. That does not mean that the University of Southern Mississippi is going to share $20.5 million with our student athletes. Our athletic operating budget from soup to nuts is $30 million. So we're not sharing $20.5 million of $30 million that includes salaries and all of those operational pieces.
But the Michigans and Ohio States of the world, by settling on that $20.5 million figure, they could cry foul, as ridiculous as it might sound, because they've been spending upwards of $200 million paying athletes, but now they would be capped at 20.5, and that would be the answer to, we're trying to make it a little bit more fair. So you guys, with the money, even though you have it, you can't spend it like you have been spending it.
It, in essence, puts a cap on what they can spend. And I think the last time I was in here, we were talking about some schools that knew this was coming and were spending $40, $50, $60, $70 million on their football roster for next year and getting those contracts put into place prior to July 1. So that they're not going to be under the umbrella of the House settlement. They'll be just outside it. So, yes. But the one thing that we have heard from our colleagues at the Power Four level, and they have said this very clearly, is they're in favor of this because it was unsustainable for them, too. You know, I've noted over the last few weeks several outstanding professionals that apply their craft at those institutions have been let go. Their positions have been eliminated because, despite the fact that those schools have all the money, there really has not been any set of guardrails on how much they could spend to procure their rosters. So therefore, they've taken all their money to procure their rosters, and now they don't have enough to pay their people.
And the Deloitte company coming in and kind of determining what is a fair deal and what isn't, how much of this, Sean, in your view, goes down to paying high school athletes who have never taken a snap at the Division I level, being paid $7 or $8 million just simply to commit to school X, Y, or Z, you know, which certainly isn't fair because they've never even proven themselves at the college level.
Yeah, two parts to it. You know, on the revenue sharing piece, you as a department, and it's divided up in terms of this percentage will go to football and men's basketball, this percentage will go to other sports, because there's another piece that's looming out there that we're going to see a lot of lawsuits pop up on, Kelly, in the very near future, and that's, of course, a federal law, Title IX.
For the women.
Equality and fairness when federal funds are expended to ensure that they receive the same number of and a similar experience. So that's going to get tested right out of the chute in this thing for sure, particularly at the Power Five level where they're spending that kind of money. What it means is, you know, that football team who has whatever percentage of that $20.5 million cap in Power Four to work with, they can spend it however they want. As you mentioned, they can spend $7 million on a player. They can spend $100,000 on this player, whatever the case may be. But that's all they can spend. So the clearinghouse, to your question, has been put in place for the NIL piece of this to ensure that there's not a workaround, you know, or an end-around where they can pay somebody $5 million to clean windows at a business. You know, it's got to be a fair and equitable amount for the work that they're doing.
Going to continue our conversation with Sean Jones, Senior Deputy Athletic Director at Southern Miss. The ever-changing world of college athletics is the topic of our conversation. And don't forget about Be Quick. They're celebrating their 60th anniversary. The giveaways for you. You can stop by the Be Quick Shell Station at the corner of 98 and Hegwood Road by Optimus Park to receive your free Buffalo decal. Place it on the back of your vehicle, and spotters will be looking for your decal. If they pick you out, you got a great chance to win some really wonderful prizes. Part of the 60th anniversary of Be Quick. We appreciate their support of the Eagle Hour. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. This segment sponsored by Campus Bookmart, campusbookmart.net. Miss Kathleen, the very best. Great selection of Southern Miss apparel for your home, for yourself, for your children, for your car. It's all at Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street. Don't forget about Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Their sedans and SUVs are the finest on the road today, and their new showroom on Highway 98 West is great. Matt Grubbs is a big supporter of the Eagle Hour, and of course, I guarantee you that Mr. Jones here would say a big supporter of Southern Miss Athletics as well.
Oh, yeah. Great man and a great supporter for sure.
All right, Sean, you kind of gave, I thought, a really good overall description of this. And I guess the bottom line for people that listen to this radio show, both of them, would be...
My friends.
how will this affect the University of Southern Mississippi?
You know, we're really in a good position. And a lot of that is a credit to Jeremy McLean getting out ahead of this and establishing a strong collective, the To the Top Collective, and Peter Boehm investing, you know, and becoming a full-time employee in that collective. You know, if you look at a lot of places at the Group of Five level in particular, and even at the Power Four level, they had collectives that were run by people that didn't really want to do it but felt an obligation to their university, so let me help, which meant some of them were a little rogue and on their own, and they weren't in concert, and then some of them really didn't want to do it. So to shutter those collectives and say, hey, we're going all rev share and we're shutting that down is a very easy move for them. You know, we have a strong collective. We have a great membership of our collective and benefits for those members. Our collective is able to, you know, to pay these student athletes, has the mechanisms in place, the business mechanisms with Peter's background to do that efficiently, effectively, provide reports. So we're in a really good spot in that, you know, our collective can remain strong. Our collective can remain to do a lot of the things that others are going to rely on RevShare. And, you know, when you start sharing revenue with students at a public institution, and by the way, they're not employees, there are a lot of red flags that come up. So by being able to still keep that collective strong and utilize it to not only raise money, but to use it as a business mechanism for payment to these student athletes, we're in a really good spot in that regard. So we didn't have to shutter anything immediately and start over. We're able to keep that thing moving and continue to look to ways to evolve it and make it even better and continue. This is an important piece. Continue to look for creative ways to raise revenue that may not be possible through a state institution or through a 501c3 foundation that's attached to a public university. So, you know, able to work through different things like selling products or, you know, branded items that are very specific and neat that fans go, ooh, I want that. You know, that's a really cool experience or that's a really cool product. And so without sharing a lot of those that are taking place, that can continue to become a source of revenue for revenue sharing. I want to be really clear, you know, we're not sharing $20.5 million. We're not going to be anywhere near that cap at Southern Miss or anywhere in the Sun Belt Conference for that matter. And the money we use is not going to be taking away from general operations or from the things that the state or the university support us through. These are going to be outside dollars that are used, the same as it is now through the collective. Yes, you do have the ability, and we're certainly exploring that, to look at some ways to use some internal pieces, but it won't be internal revenue straight to student athlete, because imagine that. You're paying a student athlete who's not an employee with state funds for not working, but for participating in sports. So because of the strength of our collective and our desire to keep that as a strength, we're in a really good spot.
Do you see a day that there will be no collectives, that it'll all be revenue sharing?
It could be. I think it would be hard to say what the next year or two or five are going to look like in this world. But, you know, state laws and rules, not only in Mississippi, but everywhere, are going to remain. So, you know, how you share revenue with student athletes is going to be dependent upon where you're at, your institution. Mm-hmm. You know, it might be easier at a private school, for example, to do that than it is at a public school. So we will still have this, the To the Top collective. And for example, we had an energizing meeting on Friday where it was me and Pete and Jeremy and Lee and Spencer Bridges. I know you know all the folks. We're just sitting around the table and creating ideas and looking at ways to continue to be very strong in that collective space, because in essence, you don't have to have a collective now, but that collective becomes our key driver for revenue sharing along with our foundation. And that partnership was already put in place through a marketing agreement through the university's foundation, athletic foundation, and through our collective, which was, you know, done with all the proper attorneys and following state law and making sure that we were doing it right. And that's Jeremy McLean at his strength. I mean, Jeremy is going to follow process, make sure that it's done exactly right, and then make sure that we're put in a good position without panicking, without saying, oh, my gosh, we've got to blow everything up and start over. And so I think what's going to happen is you're going to see some places blow it all up and start over right away just because. And we're going to patiently wait, continue to do the things we're doing, continue to be able, through our generous donors and supporters that are out there listening, to provide our student athletes with some level of what's now revenue sharing, and allow us to still remain a strong player in our space.
Does this, in essence, and I'm sorry, Kelly,
that's right,
widen the gap between the Power Four and the rest of the world, or does it narrow the gap?
I don't know that it widens it anymore. I think that it puts a cap on what they can spend, And if this College Sports Commission and the NIL Go Clearinghouse do what they say they're going to do and ensure that these deals are fair for student athletes, fair for schools, and fair for all of us that are competing to make sure that they aren't out of whack, that the big school U can't pay a quarterback $7 million to, make two appearances. I think in a way it could be a positive. It keeps the runaway train from going full speed. May slows it down a little bit.
Well, here's another interpretation of the runaway train. Now that this can of worms has been opened, there seems to have always been an argument between the academia side of a public institution and athletics. They've always butted heads over which is more important and why athletics even needs to be there. Okay, we could argue that a different day. But could this now bleed over into the academic world where academics could say, well, we've got the top math student in the state of Mississippi, and we want to make sure that they come to Southern Miss, so we're going to give them all this scholarship money, but to make sure that our academics are way up there, we want to entice this student to come, and could we then give that math student that's especially good thousands of dollars to come here as well?
Well, it certainly wouldn't be a part of the House settlement. It wouldn't be part of this in particular. I think that there's always a fine line in higher education between, scholarshipping students and needed revenue to run the operation. If you scholarship everybody, then there's no revenue to pay the people to teach the students. So, there's got to be a balance there in terms of how you scholarship students. And there's still a balance in intercollegiate athletics, particularly for us and for most, in that, we're not talking about a full scholarship and a high level payment for all of our 400 student athletes. We're talking about in our case, sharing revenue with a smaller percentage of student athletes in a limited number of sports, and those payments. I think this is a really important point for those that maybe haven't followed this as closely, which, by the way, I totally understand. If this isn't your world, this might be the most boring Super Talk you've ever had, because we're talking about these new rules. We're not talking about our teams and how fun it's going to be. But I think that there's a bit of a misunderstanding of what we're paying our young people. If you look at baseball, for example, that just finished, we've got a lot of guys playing on our team with 11.7 scholarships, so you're enhancing those 11.7 with revenue sharing, and so maybe those guys are on a full, or maybe they're on 75%, or maybe for somebody that's a really special player, they're on a full, and they get $10,000 to cover their living expenses. We've got a whole lot more of that, and we don't have any of these $500,000 student athletes or anything close to it. We've got an awful lot of kids in this space that are on $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 of what was NIL money that's now rev share.
So we don't have a Manning kid that's making $2 million a year for not playing.
No, we certainly certainly do not. Certainly do not.
I want you to hold this over, and then we're going to get off this subject on the other side of the break. But there is one more question I want you to be thinking about an answer to it. And a layman like me may be completely off base. But when you just start deciding which athlete is going to get the revenue sharing, is there not an inevitable problem that you may have, let's say, a women's sport that's not generating a profit, but you can have female athletes come and say, wait a minute, all the revenue sharing is going to the guys on the football and the baseball team. I don't think that's fair. I'm going to court.
Yeah, the Title IX.
Yeah. So we'll ask Sean that question. Then we'll get on to some fun things. Can we talk about baseball while you're here, Sean?
You betcha.
All right. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
4th Street Bar Grill sponsors this segment of the Eagle Hour, and we thank Slade and those great guys down there, wonderful friends of ours, for all they do, and encourage all of our listening audience to enjoy the good food, the good camaraderie, and the good drinks at the 4th Street Bar and Grill right there in the shadow of the Rock. And you can get yourself a cold PBR and then slide down the road, get a Mobay Beignet, 2902 Hardy Street. Only Kelly would do that, Sean. I actually saw him one time at my house eating key lime pie and drinking a Budweiser. I've never eaten a piece of pie since then. Mobay Beignet is also on Facebook.com. Mobay Beignet Company Hattiesburg is their website. All right, Sean, I don't want to spend the whole hour on this, but I do want to finish up with that one question. Do you foresee problems when you're going to, not just this school, but
sure,
you could have athletes from non-revenue-generating sports come to the university and say, this is unfair. I'm going to court because all the money's going to the football and basketball men, and I'm not getting any of the money.
Well, I think that that's going to happen. I mean, I think that's something that everybody's acknowledged, that there will be some fallout from this settlement, and one of those will be how Title IX is applied, you know, to this settlement in particular. And so, you know, I think there are folks that believe that, you know, because so much of that revenue, for example, in football is coming from television revenue, and because it's coming from, you know, seat licensing and ticketing and those sorts of things, that that they're maybe held at a different standard than those sports that do not generate revenue, mm-hmm. and in fact are an expenditure, that don't bring anything in. And I always hate to say that, bring anything in. I mean, it brings in young women and young men who are bright and competing and representing your university and
right.
and growing as a person and leaving, to a point we made during the break, Bob, leaving with a great feeling of their alma mater and their experience, and they want to give back and support and recruit for life. So there's still a place for that, and there will always be a place for that at Southern Miss. I think our baseball program is proof positive of that. You don't have to go out and sign 20 guys out of the portal. You can still develop guys, and when you develop guys, you develop culture. When you develop culture, you develop love. And when you develop love, they become Golden Eagles for life.
And
so there's still a place for that.
And the final question I had before we get on to more pleasant things was, because of all these new rules, it has driven a lot of longtime successful, experienced coaches into retirement or off the courts or fields or whatever. To what degree are you guys worried that some old people, frankly, like me and Bob, who are used to the, air quotes, good old days when it wasn't like this, are just going to throw their hands up in disgust and say, I'm done with college sports. Y'all can have it. To heck with you. This is not the way it was supposed to be, and I am not financially going to participate in this.
You know, I hope our folks understand that what we're doing is what we have to do in order to ensure that Southern Miss remains relevant on a national level for years and years to come. I mean, you know, that's why we are part of this, and that's why we are proud to be an FBS member of the Sun Belt Conference. Our history, our tradition, and none of that's going to change. What we've got to do, what we're doing every single day, is working and thinking and finding ways to ensure that Southern Miss has the best opportunity at competitive success for now in 2025 and then beyond. And so that's not going to change. I think those feelings that folks had this past week at the Hattiesburg Regional, you know, that's right in the middle of this house settlement. They're going to have those same feelings a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now. We can't control the entire landscape of intercollegiate athletics, but we can control what we do at Southern Miss and how we do it. And we are certainly committed to ensuring that we still do it the same way, with grit, with appreciation for our fan base. We do have to ask, you know, for funds to be able to remain competitive and relevant and have those chances to be on national TV and to be successful and all that. But we're not going to be asking anybody to do anything that puts our university first and foremost, or our athletic department in a negative light. We're going to participate proudly because we're proud to be who we are. And we just ask that folks continue to love Southern Miss the way they've loved it, because we're going to do our damnedest to shepherd this university, this athletic department, through this and make sure that we're in a great place now and for years to come.
And obviously it's not your guys' fault.
No. Let's talk about something good. The Murrah State Racers.
Murray State?
Murrah. Well, it's M-U-R-R-A-Y.
Murray State. Murray
State. Okay, Murray State. I read this morning their baseball field holds, it was crazy, 800 people. Yep. The coaching staff is responsible for the grounds maintenance, yet they're in the World Series. Conference brother Coastal Carolina in the World Series. Southern Miss really a runaway from hosting its third Super Regional in 4 years. Baseball is one of the sports that I believe remains relatively pure. And are you at all concerned that the purity of that great sport will be damaged in any way by this settlement?
You know, I'm really not. That's a great question. I'm not, because there are still a lot of great players and great coaches out there, and you cannot buy them all. And I think that goes beyond baseball to a certain extent. You know, I think it applies to other sports as well. If you look at, for example, our baseball program, where we were last week and where we are this week, if you look at the list of guys in the Sun Belt Conference that are in the portal, and you look at the list of guys from Southern Miss that are in the portal, and other institutions around us may choose, understandably, to use their higher levels of revenue to bring in transfers from the portal to help them immediately, that gives us, the Murray States, the Coastals of the world, the opportunity to continue to recruit and develop young men in our programs. And when you develop, as I said earlier, you create culture. Where there's culture, there's love, and then you have a chance to have gold medals for life.
And as we've seen, that's
still
powerful.
There. That's powerful.
Powerful in competition.
I think it's more powerful now than it ever has been. You know, JT Artenegra, the coach at Miami, made a really nice comment after the regional. You know, he said that's a Power Four program right there, Southern Miss, that we just played. And you know what he meant by saying that. That's not a quote-unquote mid-major. Or do you see that fan base and those players? And so collectively, that is the beauty of sport. These things may change. You know, student athletes may get a percentage of revenue that some believe they've deserved for a long time. And certainly the way we do it, I don't have a problem with it. The way that we're doing it here, and we're going to continue to do it, we're supplementing these young men and women with opportunities to pay their rent and make a car payment and, you know, go buy a pizza. We're not paying anybody $300,000, $500,000, you know, anything like that. You can still put a team together, you know, and be successful because of chemistry and coaching and culture and those guys fighting for each other. It's what Murray State just did. It's what we've done. It's what Coastal's done. And there's still going to always be a place for that. My fear, as a fan, as someone who came up through the small college ranks, who has always had an affinity for the Cinderella and the underdog, is that, you know, CBS years ago, remember the multi-million dollar contract they signed with the NCAA for the tournament? You guys remember when you'd catch a game in the afternoon on ESPN or it'd be on tape delay? That wasn't that long ago. That was the late 80s. And then they signed that multi-million dollar contract. Well, what do they sell the first 2 weeks of the tournament? They sell the Cinderella. There's still got to be a place for the Cinderella. And fans, Kelly, to your point earlier about, you know, running folks off, fans are going to continue to clamor for that. And I'm by no means saying that Southern Miss is a Cinderella. When we play anybody, we expect to win, and that's always going to be the case. But there's still a place for those Murray States to make a run, and that's critical. I hope that the commissioners of the Power Four conferences can take a moment, because they're all fans or they wouldn't be doing this, and say, look, I'm mad that I don't have eight teams in that field, but – yeah, I got to tell you, that's actually pretty good for college sports.
And the settlement that has come out leading to eventual roster maxes, you say is really for the Division IIs and the JUCOs is great news.
Yeah, I think so. You know, if you look at roster limits, now there was a caveat that was thrown in there by Judge Wilkin. You know, she almost settled the case a few weeks ago and then said, I want to go back and discuss this roster limit piece because I don't want kids to be cut from their teams. Well, all universities in Division I were making plans to cut those spots. For example, baseball's roster limit is 34 now. So you're talking about rosters that were 42, 43, 44 kids had to go down to 34 had she not said, stop, go back and clean this up. Football roster limit 105, basketball roster limit 15. So what she created, what they went back to her and she settled on was a designated student athlete list, which means a lot of things right now. And that's a whole other conversation. There needs to be some direction put out and should be soon on how you can be put on the designated student athlete list. I mean, I think the honorable way to do it was to say, well, these are the six kids we were going to cut. We're putting them on the designated list. They can stay or they can go somewhere else and not count against the cap. But if everybody doesn't play by the same rules on that designated student athlete list, you could designate all your kids and we've got ourselves another COVID situation with rosters. Hopefully that's going to be managed soon. But at some point, Kelly, all those kids have to find a place to play. And that place may very well be junior college or Division II.
And it is complex today, isn't it? I'm telling you. A lot of change.
I do have one hot seat question for him when we come back, though, Bob.
All right. We're going to wrap up the show with Sean Jones. We really appreciate you spending the whole hour with us, Sean.
You bet.
We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. Final segment of the show every day, sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street. Great place to take your children for baseball, softball training, state-of-the-art facility, and just a great place. Luke Reynolds is the manager. Also, and I know Sean knows about this guy, Hank Lott at MCS Home Center in Bellevue. What a great new building. Great new business for the Pine Belt, and we're so happy to have them part of the Eagle Hour family. And we want all of our listeners to please buy all your building supplies, your home, your lawn, your garden stuff from MCS Home Center in Bellevue, 7329 US 98 in Hattiesburg. Just great people. And again, Sean, another great supporter of Southern Miss.
Oh, incredible. Does so many things behind the scenes. You know, Hank's a pilot. And a dang good one. Obviously, he lands every time, so he knows what he's doing, and he's helping us get coaches around to these recruiting camps. I mean, just a number of things.
Super family.
And just super people.
And his son, Stone, has guaranteed me that the Golden Eagles will be undefeated in football this year.
Well, good.
Well, Stone knows. He's around it every day, and yes. He's the pulse of it and the heartbeat of it, and we love him to death. Big part of our program.
As we begin to wrap things up, Sean, we had a text message from a caller that wanted us to ask you about your love of being a public address announcer, and that you've actually been called into service several times to fill in as a PA announcer. But you've got kind of the same background that Bob and I have.
Yeah, you know, I had the great fortune to be a play-by-play guy for 13 years at my alma mater, football, basketball, and baseball. And
your alma mater?
University of Central Missouri.
There you go.
The Mules. Worked at the University of Kansas and did some baseball for the Jayhawks with the legendary Tom Hedrick back in the day, and women's basketball coaches show, did some PA. So, you know, my dad was an auctioneer, so I guess I was blessed with the ability to speak quickly, hopefully eloquently at times. But, you know, I enjoyed that part of my career greatly, but you know, had a fork in the road and took it. I think that was Yogi Berra that said that, right?
Right.
And went the administration route, but certainly have a great love and appreciation for radio and announcing. And if I'm needed occasionally, John needed me to do a football game one time with him, South Florida, when Lee got sick, Lee Roberts, and I was telling QB1 to hurry back, and he was fortunately back the next week. But, you know, my job's kind of that of a Swiss Army knife, so whatever I can do to help the Golden Eagles, that's what I'll do.
But when it comes to being a PA announcer, less is more.
There you go. That's right. Different than radio, that's for sure.
Yes.
Before we let you go, let's talk just a minute about the regional, and obviously it was a big success from the standpoint of ticket sales and fans. Can you give us any kind of idea of what sort of economic impact that event had on our community?
You know, I'm certain the city could give you that information, Bob, and they would have it. I don't have the numbers on the economic impact. You know, the way that works is we have to take the ticket revenue and return that to the NCAA as part of bidding, you know, to have the opportunity to host those events and a guaranteed amount. And so those ticket dollars go back to the NCAA, but obviously what stays in the community are the hotels, the heads in beds, the restaurants, the purchasing of fuel, et cetera, all the things that those unbelievable crowds did. And it was a great event. You know, I had the great fortune to be the tournament director. Now, I joked. I said, listen, Jeremy McClain, if he's in the room, he's the tournament director. I don't know if y'all know who Dwight Schrute is, but I'm the assistant to the regional manager, you know. But no, he allowed me that opportunity to serve as the tournament director. So, you know, what I got to see, guys, was our custodial staff turn that stadium around between games.
They sure
did. Overnight.
They sure
and did. I saw our police, you know, Rusty Keys, our police chief on campus, but working with Hattiesburg Police and Lamar and Forest County and the Mississippi State Patrol, the police escorts to the teams, unreal, and all of them mentioned it. Our ticket office was understaffed. You know, we've had a couple folks move on to new opportunities, and Jeff Mason and Tyler Cochran, you know, those guys were unbelievable. In the process, and Kendall Pulse and that whole group, you know, just worked their tail off. Lee Applewhite and Rory and I don't want to leave anybody out. Jack Duggan up in the press box.
Lee was up in the suite eating. They were.
And really,
it took a village to do that, and the fans and the community were a big part of it.
Yeah.
And when you've got Rob Vaughn at Alabama and Brett Baretti at Columbia and JD at Miami. And this is Rob at Alabama after a loss and Brett after a loss seeking us out saying, hey, this was first class. Everything you guys did was the way we would hope to do it. Your fans were unbelievable. Your community was unbelievable. And so thank you. That means a lot. You know, it means a lot. It means that you're doing it right. And I felt blessed that we had four classy programs and four classy coaches in this regional as well.
Great competition. Let me tell you where you knew it was paid off. After the Alabama game, my daughter and wife and a friend went over to Fuzzy's Tacos. The place was packed. People were celebrating, drinking, eating, having a good time. And there's where the economic impact and we know a lot of these guys, like Justin at Fuzzy's, and how important that is to them. So kudos to the baseball team.
Absolutely.
And all of you guys in the athletic department for getting that regional here.
Well, appreciate that. Like you said, kudos to Oz and his staff and his players. They're the ones that made it happen.
Protect that baseball program, Sean.
Oh, absolutely.
Please.
We're going to protect them all.
There we go. Sean, we really appreciate your time.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks
Sean
a lot for
Jones,
me
everybody, senior deputy athletic director, who gave a whole hour to Kelly Center and I were. Sean, not many people are ever willing to do that. We're grateful to you.
Scintillating conversation on the House settlement.
Scintillating. I don't know how to spell that, let alone what it means.
We'll get you back one day and have you for an hour of fun talk. Is
sounds
that okay?
good. Sounds great.
All right. Until tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the top. Like an eagle to the sea.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a
healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.